Hi, I'm the Reverend Helen Stokely. I'm the Deputy Head of Institute of Spurgeon's College in London.
Hi, this is David Capes with the Stone Chapel. I'm traveling to London today on my way to South Africa to teach a course at George Whitfield College, but I had some time. I wanted to see my friend Rob Bradshaw and also see Spurgeon's College. That's where we are today. And it is a delight to welcome the Reverend Helen Stokely to the Stone Chapel. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be able to come chat with you like this.
Well, tell us a little bit about you. Who is Helen Stokely?
Yeah, so where do we start? So I studied history and German at university.
Oh, okay.
I was thinking maybe I would be a teacher. That was where I was at. But God had other ideas. So I actually started out by working with someone that your listeners might know, Jonathan Carswell of tenofthose.com, who I met when he just had a cardboard box and a book and an idea to sell books across the world. So I worked with him, just me and Jonathan, for 9 years, taking that little idea to what it is today. And then I really had some real moments of what all I can describe as meeting with God, where I really felt that God was asking me to step out further and look further at church leadership. I'd married my husband Martin, who was a Baptist minister, and I really felt that God was asking me to actually step up and do some leadership with him. And so I came and trained at Spurgeon's College.
So you work here, but trained here.
Yeah, yes.
And they even invited you back.
They did.
You must have made a good impression on them, I guess.
Yeah. So, I came here and I trained for Baptist ministry, and it was amazing. It was just an amazing time in my life. It really opened my eyes to things I'd never really thought about, and it really deepened my faith and really stretched me. So yeah, I became a Baptist minister, working in church, preaching, and then as you said, they invited me back. So I find myself as the deputy head of institute, been here about 8.5 years. So it's great to be able to be part of the story of the college, to help plan the future. And it's a great place to study, and it's a great place to work. It's really nice to be here.
Well, you've made a good impression, I know, on Rob. Our friend Rob, who's been on a couple of podcasts already. We'll put information about that in the show notes. So we have listeners who know maybe a lot of detail about C.H. Spurgeon, others who don't. But for those who don't know, who was C.H. Spurgeon?
Yes, so Charles Haddon Spurgeon. So he was born early 1800s, 1834, in Essex, in England, not too far away from here. And he was brought up in a family that took him to Sunday school, so he was listening to the Word of God. He was immersed in that church setting. And then when he was about, say, 15, he had that personal moment where he met with God. And so he threw himself into finding out more about God. He was involved in the Sunday school. And then came that day where someone said to him, I think you could preach, young man. And, it's great if you read his documents and his memoirs, you can see that he was nervous in that moment, but he accepted that opportunity. And then from that moment, that teenager, he went on to be one of the greatest preachers and have one of the largest ministries in the 1800s. I mean, we can't underestimate what a big impact Charles had on the UK and even today and beyond. And he had that passion to preach and to tell people about God's word. He would preach to tens of thousands of people.
That's what amazing to me.
It's,
and there was no amplification system, no PA, no microphones.
Not at all. And he just used his voice to preach. And it was just amazing that so many people gathered. He got such a following. And he got to the point, really, where he was thinking about how he could help others to follow in his footsteps and how he could train others and how he could educate others about the Bible. And so at that such young age, Heath was thinking about how he could help others, and he thought about founding what became the Pastor's College in 1856.
So he would have been his 20s
at
that point?
Yes, so young. So, and I think, if I think about me in my 20s, this is not what I was thinking about.
You know, it was not there, huh?
No, not at all. But he had that vision, he had that passion, and he had that determination. Hmm. And so he took that idea, and he had that first student, and then I'm sitting here today in 2022 with a college that he founded.
And it's been almost 175 years.
Yeah, it's amazing. And over that time, we've trained thousands and thousands of preachers that have gone out from this college, the Pastor's College, Spurgeon's College, and they've been out around the world. And that all starts with this young man, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And the faith and the vision that he had is just amazing.
So what is the mission of the college today?
Yeah, so our mission, it's very, very much what Charles' original idea was. He wanted to train people to learn more about the Bible, to help them to preach and help them to become ministers and leaders. And that's what we're all about. We train men and women for Christian ministry throughout the world. And we have courses in London where we're teaching theology face-to-face. We're doing ministerial training. We have courses here about counselling. And then we have distance learning where people can study theology with us. And we have students all over the world. But the whole thing about Spurgeon's College has always been about mission, about ministry, about the gospel. You know, it all started with Charles, and we have that legacy, and that is still the main thing that we're trying to do.
Is this mainly a Baptist school, or are there other denominations that come your way?
Yeah, it's really interesting. So we are Baptist, we're an evangelical college, but actually we find that many other people from different networks come and train with us. We have a rich diversity in the college. And we also have a number of students that they don't feel called to be a minister. They don't feel called to be, you know, the person who's heading up the ministry team, but they want to develop their knowledge. They want to think more deeply about theology, just kind of get into the nuts and bolts of it, really study the Bible and ask those difficult questions and look at the text from different viewpoints. So we have a real eclectic mix of students, but the main thing of the college has been about training men and women for Baptist ministry, as started with Charles.
And that's not just for England and Scotland and Ireland. But it's all, you said, all over.
Oh, all over, because we we have our presence, a digital presence, so you can come and you can do distance learning with us. So on a Tuesday night, we have students dining in virtually, and our lecturers are training them. We have a really interesting course that's kind of developed over the years around digital theology. We've got a master's in digital theology.
A master's in
digital theology.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really, really fascinating. It's, you know, thinking about how the digital space interacts with theology. So for example, one of the things that they've discussed in a class is, do you need a minister, or could you just have like a jukebox of hymns, get it to circle round and pick up a podcast preach?
Okay.
So there's lots of really...
Well, if they're going to do that, they might as well use our podcast.
Yeah, indeed. But there's really interesting questions that have come out of the pandemic. It's really interesting things around, you know, online church. You know, here in the UK, we've still got churches who have got an online presence as well as a physical presence in the building. And there's lots of theological things to think about, you know, about communion, about baptism. You know, what does that mean if you are part of a church but you've never been to the building?
Yeah.
It's, you know...
Yeah, how do you do communion that way?
How
exactly?
do you do communion? How would you do baptism? By full immersion.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a whole world there. And we've, you know, created this MA in digital theology. And we've got... It's all distance learning, so people from around the world are doing it. Hmm. And then what we've also done is, for those that don't want to do a master's, maybe haven't got the time, we've packaged some of that content up into little chunks. So you can buy just a sort of a couple of days' worth, and pastors can have a look at some of the issues, maybe the ones they're most interested in terms of the theological space. So it's a really interesting conversation, and I'm sure that people listening to this who are in churches will just identify with how digital pandemic has changed a lot of the way that we interact and throws up some very interesting theological questions. And that's what they're doing. We're, you know, wrestling with those and researching those on that course.
Mm. So other than the Master of Arts in Digital Theology, what other kind of degrees do you offer?
Yeah, so we have what's really exciting is we have a new undergraduate theology degree. So this is training men and women for leadership. So we've just been developing it quietly behind the scenes, and the first students arrive next week. And it's a 3-year undergraduate course if you're doing it full-time, or you can do it part-time over 6 years. And it's training people to be ministers, to be leaders, whatever denomination. And it's not only looking at the Bible, you know, it's not only looking at doctrine and getting into how we approach the text and how we deal with scripture and how do we evangelize in this, you know, post-pandemic world. But it's also thinking about the other aspects of ministry. You know, how do you do a funeral well? You know, what does a good wedding look like? You know, how can we be pastors that do really good pastoral care? You know, what do we do when someone turns up at our door and they're a victim of domestic abuse? So we're combining here the good and the solid biblical training with all of those practical, real life challenges that, you know, people on the ground face as pastors and leaders the world over. So it's a really interesting program. So it's just launching next week. We've got students enrolled.
That's exciting.
We're excited about that. And then the other thing that we're doing alongside all of that is counselling. So we train counsellors as well. So the pandemic especially has seen a real rise in mental health issues. People that were isolated during that time, people that have lost employment, people whose life hasn't worked out quite as they hoped. And we train professional counsellors to then go out into the community and see people and really help them with those mental health struggles. So yeah, we're busy, that's what I would say.
Yeah, well, that's exciting. And you guys are getting ready to start doing a bunch of building around here too as well.
I know.
Expanding, and that's exciting because there's not enough room for the students you do have, right?
That's totally correct. We don't like to be bored here at Spurgeon's College. So we are also in the middle of actually redeveloping our site.
Hmm.
Which is really interesting.
Some of these buildings are coming down.
Yeah. Other buildings are going to go up. So we're sitting here in an old stately home on a 6-acre site that was given to Charles Spurgeon. We'll have been here 100 years next year. And we're going to knock down some of the extensions, you know, the 1950s kind of extensions.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to create a new library. So that will be a very important feature.
Have to come back and see that.
Indeed. Yeah. With lots more space, because we're running out of space for the library books, and then lots more lecture space so that actually we can keep developing our programmes. And what's really exciting is that in the UK, if you're at a college like us, you normally have to get a validating partner, someone that will award your degrees.
Some other university.
Yeah. Okay. But from the 1st of September, we've actually got our own degree awarding powers.
Really? That's great.
We are the first UK theological place to ever do this.
Wonderful. Congratulations. That had to be a lot of work.
It was a lot of work. Kept us even more busy. So we are, from the 1st of September, we're able to issue our own degrees and we'll be able to validate other institutions as well. So
they could look to you as a validating partner.
Yeah, so it's a bit of a game changer. We're the first people in the UK to do it. We've only had it since the 1st of September, so, you know, 3 weeks in. but we're really excited.
You haven't stumbled in 3 weeks.
No. Oh, we're all right. We're really excited, though, because it means that we're no longer having to write programs to the tune of secular institutions. We're actually validating our own. So if we believe that some element of the Bible or mission and ministry is the most important thing that students need to concentrate on, we now have the freedom to actually exercise that wisdom without having to always fit into a mould of a university. So we maintain the quality, but we want to use it in order to be able to make sure that we prepare men and women as best as we can. So we're very excited. It's going to be really interesting time as we get to that.
Hopefully you're not the only, you'll be the first of many. To go.
That's what we hope. That's what we hope.
Yeah. You can help show the others the way.
Yeah, completely.
One of the things I like, when I was looking on your website, I was kind of impressed. No, I was a lot impressed with some of the people who have graduated from Spurgeon's College in the past. And some names of people that our listeners may know.
Yeah. So,
do any come to mind that we could talk about?
Well, there's one in particular that I find really, really impressive. And I think it's just a really lovely story. And your listeners might have heard of Thomas Johnson, the 28 years a slave. And if you haven't heard of Thomas Johnson, he was born in 1836. So we're going back a bit here.
Yeah.
But he was born into a slave family. So if you imagine that, you know, Thomas was a slave. And he kind of had, as you can imagine, a dreadful time. And it wasn't until the American Civil War that he was actually eventually emancipated and he was able to be free.
1863,
yeah.
I think.
I mean,
like that,
you know, we're talking a while ago here. Mm-hmm. But what's really interesting about this is that, you know, Johnson is a Christian. He knows God, you know, he knows Jesus as Lord and his Saviour. And he's heard of Spurgeon, and he knows that Spurgeon was a real critic of slavery. But, you know, Thomas hasn't got anything, you know, he was a slave. You know, he's not coming from riches and from wealth. And yet he comes over to the UK and he asks, could he possibly come to Spurgeon's College? And he writes, and Spurgeon just says, come. Yes, let the dear man come. And we've actually got that writing in our heritage room. We've got the original letter.
Wow.
And, you know, and so Thomas Johnson comes and he goes on to be a missionary to Africa and such like. But the reason why that's really important to us, because as he's one of our graduates, is because it just speaks of there being no boundaries and then being, regardless of what has happened to you or your circumstances, you can still train and you can still speak and you can still lead on behalf of God. And you see that, so as a sort of a symbol or a, you know, one of our graduates as a hero, it's just a really important story to us because we want to ensure that actually, if you feel that God has called you to speak, if you feel that God has called you to ministry, that actually we can be as helpful as possible so there's as few barriers as possible. So Thomas Johnson, a long time ago, but as you mentioned, there are so many graduates of Spurgeon's College, and you kindly kind of warned me of this question, and I was a bit overwhelmed by the number of people, you know. But even today, we have got some amazing female graduates who are now, you know, we've got one that's the president of the Baptist Union, we've got them as regional ministers in the UK, so that's sort of a bit like a bishop, they oversee the areas. We've had people setting up charities. We've got Steve Chalk, who set up all these schools in the UK, various charities. You know, we've got over 5,000 graduates. They're all over the world. You know, and if you go and into most countries and talk about Spurgeon's College, you know, someone knows something about Spurgeon's College. Someone knows someone that's been there or trained there. So, yeah, we have an amazing host of graduates. It's phenomenal.
Well, you've given us a lot of your time today, and I'm really grateful for the time we've been able to spend to learn more about Spurgeon's College, learn more about you and the leadership and what the future looks like. It seems very bright.
It does indeed. It does indeed.
Thanks for being with us today on The Stone Chapel.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Hey, if you want to know more about Spurgeon's College, here's how you can do it. Go to spurgeons.ac.uk. That's spurgeons.ac.uk. I want to say thanks to Kathy Capes. You can see Bridget Johnson Solis, who has produced the podcast. If you have questions or comments or just want to be in touch, email us at podcast@livingyourlibrary.org. That's podcast@livingyourlibrary.org. Until next time, thanks for listening.
So the motto of Spurgeon's College is Etenio Etenior, which we might not all know quite what that means. I had to have it translated myself. Latin, it means I hold and am held. And there's one thing I'd want people to remember as a nugget of wisdom, is that whatever is happening today, wherever you are, however you got there, God is holding you. He has got you. He's got your back. So don't feel alone. Don't feel despaired. Because God is actually with you and He's holding you.